Yeah, we want to pray for Brother Jim. He's going to bring the word to us today. And Lord, I pray that you give him the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you direct his path, that you direct his thoughts, that you direct his speech, O Lord. Amen. That he might speak that which is the word of the Lord to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, amen. Praise God. You can hear me okay? Okay. We thank God for the blessing of the Lord of being able to gather in this manner and in this fashion that we know that Jesus Christ is not only in us, but he is with us in both spirit and in truth. And so we do pray that we can have sweet fellowship together around this word. I just want to say that the word that God has put on my heart today is an apostolic word. There, we have been privileged to receive the apostolic word on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And so the word that all of us preach, it is an apostolic word. Now, I do not claim to be an apostle or a prophet, but the word that we preach and the word that we feed upon is indeed an apostolic word. And this word was brought to me recently in the spirit, and I kind of wrestled over it, but I feel this is the word of the Lord for this hour. So if we could, I would like you to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 14. And that's Leviticus 14. And let us begin just at the beginning of the chapter and get a few thoughts here as to what is the content of what the Lord is speaking to Moses and to us by his Spirit. Leviticus 14 and verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leopard in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and the cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop." And we won't go into the details of this, but I would like to just say that we're going to be speaking today on the cleansing of the leper. And we are going to be moving toward the sacrifice that is required to cleanse the leper. Now, what is leprosy? Leprosy is sin, plain and simple. Leprosy represents, it is a type of sin that is sin that has been placed. It is one of the plagues that has been placed Because it's come because of rebellion against God. And so we have to, first of all, where did the plagues, where did sin, where did this originate? How did it get passed on? And we know it goes back to Adam. And there was, first of all, let us say that the fall of Adam was a very great fall. It was a great fall. Adam was a son of God. He fell from grace. He walked and talked with God, and he fell from grace. And this sin. So remember now, we're not talking about leprosy in particular. We're talking about sin that has entered into the whole human race from Adam to every generation. Now, you say, well, we're not sinners. We have been cleansed by the blood, we've been born of the Spirit. Exactly. We are not sinners. We do not participate willingly with sin. But in the same token, we have not been totally cleansed from the sin nature. Okay. And we're going to try to address this and see what Scripture has to say. Okay, so let's move on. We're in Leviticus chapter 14, and I want to take a look at verse 10. Well, we have to pick up the thought, actually in verse 9. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave his hair off of his head and his beard, his eyebrows, even all of his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes. Also, he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Now, this is part of the preparation of the leper coming and the sacrifice being made so that the sin of leprosy can be cleansed and deliverance come forth. Now we're ready for verse 10. On the eighth day, he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3 tenths deals of flour for the meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for the trespass offering and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And one more verse. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place, for the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. Okay, so let us take a look at the sacrifice here. We're talking about two he lambs, one ewe lamb, the female lamb. And of course, we don't have any problems with genders, right, brethren? We know our he from our she. Who are these lambs? What is the typology? What do they represent? Okay, so first of all, let's identify this he lamb, the first he lamb. Now, it's very simple that Jesus Christ is the eternal Lamb of God that was shed from when? From before the foundation of the world. So it was in the heart and the mind of God that Jesus Christ should be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. So I believe that we can reasonably agree and conclude that the first Lamb has to be Jesus Christ, the eternal Lamb of God. Okay. Now, let us, I want to look over. There's another, okay, Numbers. I want to go, we're hold your finger here. We're going to go come back to this, but I want to go to a verse in Numbers first, Numbers 28. Okay, we're in Numbers 28. And well, we'll begin in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall ye observe to offer unto me in their what? Due season. Okay. Whenever God called the people together in the seasons of the Lord, in the feast time, they were not to come empty-handed. They were coming to make sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 3. And thou shalt say unto them, This is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the even. And so, where we are going, and I believe the impetus of the word that God has put upon my heart is we're going to the evening sacrifice. So we see that the lambs, there was a morning sacrifice, a lamb that was to be slain in the morning. And I believe that we have already established that Jesus Christ is the morning lamb. He was the lamb, the eternal lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Okay, so this morning, now let's go back to Leviticus 14. So the two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb. Okay. So the one he lamb was slain when? In the morning sacrifice from before the foundation of the world. Okay. So then we have a ewe lamb, a female lamb. Now, the ewe lamb here is a type of, first of all, and it is in two dimensions, okay? Israel is always referred to as what? She. And so Israel has made a great sacrifice by keeping the covenants of God. They have been a covenant people that have paid a price. So if we the look at the two dimensions of the ewe lamb, the first dimension is that Israel is the she and the church, as the bride of Christ, is the other she. So the sacrifice, there's a sacrifice that has to be made. There's a sacrifice being made. And Israel, from the very beginning, when Joshua crossed the Jordan and they came into the land of Israel, the battle was on, surrounded by their enemies that wanted to kill them. And did somebody mention something this morning about Iran getting the bomb because they want to destroy Israel and wipe them off the map? That has been the order of the day from the time of Joshua up until now. As soon as they set foot in the land, their enemies have tried to destroy them. And we can look at the 6 million Jews that perished under Hitler. They became a sacrificial lamb. Their blood has been shed on the land. Now, we take a look at the other dimension, the dimension of the church. The church has been a sacrificial lamb. The church has been, and some of your brethren have been very faithful of praying for the persecuted church. But the church, okay, the church was first from its beginning at the day of Pentecost. The church has been persecuted by the Jewish order, persecuted by the Romans. And then a few centuries later, persecuted by the Catholic Church, and that has never ceased. So you see that the suffering of a sacrificial lamb has been both Israel as well as the church. So I hope that we can see that there is a morning sacrifice, there's an evening sacrifice, and there's a midday sacrifice. And the midday sacrifice was both Israel and the church. Now, we're talking about the cleansing of the leper. So let's get back. So we're going down to, we're still in Leviticus 14. We're going down to verse 14. Leviticus 14, 14. And the priest, now who is the priest? The priest has to be none other than Jesus Christ. The priest shall take of the blood of the sacrifice of the trespass offering. And the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it upon the palm of his left hand. And the priest shall dip it in the right finger of the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times. And verse 17, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. Keep in mind, this cleansing of leprosy, of sin, it's deep rooted, brethren. It is deep rooted into humanity. And it goes on for generations. I want us, if we can, to try to grasp and get a hold of the thought of how deeply ingrained into the very fiber of humanity this sin nature is. Now, we are not sinners, but we are not yet free from sin nature. Amen. I believe it. We have to agree that we are not cleansed yet from the sin nature. Now, this is the cleansing that is taking place now. First of all, the priest had to take the blood. And where did he put it? Upon the ear. The ear represents not only our hearing, but our very senses, our consciousness, our God consciousness. And the blood has to make our God consciousness come alive. We have to be open. That God door, our God door, has to be open. So the blood opens our senses to God. Now, then he puts it on the right thumb. Our works have to be the works of righteousness. And so the blood has to be applied, because our works cannot, must not be the works of the flesh. And of course, on the great right toe, our walk before God. We must walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the blood is this blood that the priest is applying to every facet of our life. Our senses, our works, our walk is cleansing daily. Now, remember, these sacrifices were daily sacrifices. The priests were continually going to the brazen altar, making these sacrifices before the Lord. Continually. What are we talking about? We're talking about this work of the blood being a continual cleansing in our soul daily. And who is making the daily sacrifice? You and I. We must make the daily sacrifice. And then it's repeated in verse 17 with the oil. The oil, of course, is the type of the Holy Spirit working into the very nature of our being to try to root out this leprosy, this sin nature that's implanted within humanity. So let's go and find out who this other he lamb is. So the two he lambs, the morning lamb was Jesus Christ. The midday lamb, the ewe lamb, was Israel slash the church. Israel and the church, which have suffered throughout the generations. And so this, we're going down to the evening sacrifice. Who is the evening lamb? So let us go to, let's go all the way over to Revelation. We're covering a lot of ground here. We're going from Leviticus to Revelation. So we're going to Revelation, I believe, chapter 12. Yeah, up to 12. Okay, and we'll begin with verse 1. Revelation 12. Well, actually, Revelation 12 begins in the last verse of chapter 11. So we're going to read 11:19, and then we'll start chapter 12. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his head. Excuse me, the Ark of his Testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes and a great hail. Chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was what? Caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, this is the church bringing forth the man child. Let's identify with where we're coming from. This man child is none other than the evening lamb. Now, before we get into this thought, we know that the sons of God will lay down their life for 3.5 days. And at the end of the 3.5 days, they will be raised up again, immortal, and this will begin the seven the seventh day, the 7,000 year resurrection of the dead, and the resurrection will go for 1,000 years. Now, what we have to clarify is the giving up of my life, the shedding of my blood can atone for nothing. Amen. We must establish that fact. The sons of God laying down their life is a sacrificial offering up unto God, but it is not an atonement. Because my blood, my life cannot atone for anything. It is the mourning lamb, Jesus Christ, that has atoned for the sins of the world. Now, this man child is in the lamb capacity. Because, and we have, let's just go over it so that we don't miss anything. We're going to go back to Revelation 11, just over on the other side of the page. And Revelation 11 and verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now, remember, where we're coming from is the cleansing of the leprosy, the cleansing of sin entirely eradicated out of the sons of God, the people of God. To this day, no man has been sinless. No man. Jesus Christ came as the sinless Lamb of God and became the pattern son. And we know that because nobody lived to be 1,000 years old. Methuselah came close at 969, and Adam lived to be 930. And that shows that the sin nature was still imbibed into man, that he could not overcome death. So this evening lamb, this man child, is going to lay down their life. And what is going to happen? Their blood is going to be spilled, poured out, because this man-child is the evening lamb. Now, the beast is going to think. And of course, we know the beast is Satan himself. The beast is going to think, I have gotten I have gotten rid of these two pesky prophets that have tormented me, bothered me. So, what is happening here? Let's try to get the picture of what's happening here. The devil brings forth his best man, the Antichrist, to defeat God's best man, the man child. And so he gets the victory. So he thinks. He says here, and he verse 7, and he when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. He thinks he's gotten the victory over God's very best. God put up his very best against him, and he won. Until. Now, I want us to try to get a hold of this. Keep reading. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they of every people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt upon the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear was upon them which saw them. For 3.5 days, their blood is poured out as a sacrificial lamb. And when, now take a real good look there at verse 11. The spirit of life from God entered into them. Their blood is poured out. There's no more blood in them. So when the sons of God resurrect, Jesus said to the disciples at his resurrection, he said, "Go ahead, feel me. Don't you see that I am what? Flesh and bone." Jesus' life was poured out. His blood was poured out. He was not flesh and blood. His life became this, his blood became the life that we're receiving right now. So, these resurrected sons of God have their blood has been poured out. Now the spirit of life from God is breathing. So let me see if I can gather my thought. When God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and it said he breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became what? A living soul. And he had blood flowing through his veins. Now, sin corrupted that blood. Can we see this, brethren? The whole bloodline of Adam was corrupted because of Adam's fall, Adam's sin. So every generation up until our generation has been contaminated with leprosy, sin, the sin nature. No man has ever overcome that sin nature. So God has ordained that this man child would become that evening sacrifice, would be the evening lamb and pour out their blood. Now remember, and I have to keep repeating this, our blood can atone for zero, nothing. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can make atonement for sin. So by the sons of God pouring out their blood, what is happening? They're getting freed from that Adamic nature that was into the very bloodline through every generation up to now. God has never had a sinless man. Now, because our blood is poured out, and now we are no longer flesh and blood. What are we? Flesh and bone, just like Jesus Christ, because the spirit of life from God, this pneuma, this new life, has been breathed, God breathed into the sons of God. Now, I want to take a look at one more thing. I want you to go over to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song, hallelujah, before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were what? Redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before God and his throne. This, brethren, is the man child in the lamb capacity, in the lamb nature. These are they which follow the lamb whithersoever. Where did the lamb go? The lamb became the morning sacrifice from before the foundation of the world. He became the morning sacrifice and gave his blood, gave his life to atone for the sins of the world. Now, At the evening sacrifice, at the end of the day, the man child in that same lamb capacity have laid down their life, given up their the life, okay? The life of the flesh is in the blood. So now the sons of God have laid down their life and spilled their blood. It is no more their life. And so now God breathed into them this new breath of life. And guess what was eradicated? What was eradicated from them was that leprosy, that sin nature. Because there's no more of the blood of Adam in them. It is now the life of Christ, the living Word. They have come. That they have become, okay, let's just read it. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of the resurrection, brethren, unto God and to the Lamb. Jesus Christ became the first resurrection. Now Jesus Christ in the man child is raising them up from the dead to prove to the devil that you didn't get the victory. You brought your best. You brought your Antichrist man, your best man, to kill my best man, the man child, and you didn't succeed. And you can't corrupt this man child because this man child has incorruption within him. So now I want to try to gather some thoughts here. Are any of us near perfect? The answer, of course, is yes. We are near perfect in one sense because I have been baptized into Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has immersed my spirit, and one part of me, my spirit, is as perfect as God's Spirit is. And I hope we say amen. So my spirit is perfect. Now, the Holy Ghost is planting Christ in my soul to bring that same perfection into my soul. So what I'm saying is that when the sons of God pour out their life, their soul is going to gain that perfection. Now, so let's just take a look at this. The sons of God have laid down their life, they poured out their blood. They've gained perfection in their spirit when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, by the laying down, by following the Lamb, they've gained that perfection in their soul. Because no more that the blood of Adam is no more a part of them. They've overcome. The last part of the sons of God to demonstrate perfection is in this body. So by picking up their life, they are demonstrating that perfection in their spirit, their soul, and their body. Let's take a look at that. First John, go back a couple pages here. First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And verse 4. First John 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he which came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because it is, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness, where? In the earth, in the body. The physical body has to have the testimony of the perfection in the spirit, the soul, and the body. So the testimony first was in heaven. The first lamb was Jesus Christ, slain from before the foundation of the world. Gave us his blood, gave us his life. Then the suffering of the ewe lamb, the suffering of the church, the suffering of Israel to bring forth, because it's the church that brought forth the man child. And there was the church did not bring forth the man child without a travail, without a suffering, brethren. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why that ewe lamb, the church, was a church of suffering, because it's a through the suffering that the church was able to bring forth the man child. So where is the record in the earth? There are three that bear record, verse 7, in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth. In this earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. The witness is the testimony. The testimony is the demonstration of life over death. When God breathed that life into those sons of God and they were raised up, there was no more of that Adamic nature, the leprosy, the sin. There was no more of it in humanity. God's best finally overcame. Now, let's follow on and see what happens. Go to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now I'm starting to get excited, brethren. Woo. I hope you share my excitement. Romans chapter 8. Well, let's go back to verse 18. This is too good to pass up. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be, must be, delivered from the bondage of what? Corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What is the corruption? The corruption is still the Adamic nature that still prevails in mankind. We have to wrestle with that sin nature every day of our life, brethren. Amen. I know you're saying amen. And so the corruption is still contaminating God's people. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What is that groan? What is that travail? That is the church travailing to bring forth this deliverance, to bring forth this man-child. The whole church, for we know that the whole creation, well, we could say church there, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have what? The first fruits. The man-child is the first fruits. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Let's try to put some of these things together. The first resurrection we had was in our spirit. We were baptized in the Holy Spirit. We became absolutely perfect. First resurrection. Now, when the sons of God laid down their life and became that evening sacrifice, that evening lamb, they gained that perfection in their soul. And God then breathed into them this life, and they were raised up. The last part of the perfection is the redemption of the body. When God created Adam, this magnificent creature, he never intended Adam to die. He never intended for that body to be corrupted with sin and death. God wants to redeem the body as well as the soul. Do we see that? Let me read it to make sure I'm not making something up here. Verse 23, but not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. God wants this. Okay, I'm trying to get ahead of myself, but God has never had a man to live 1,000 years. Immortality. The man-child is going to resurrect and will start the resurrection for 1,000 years, and God will have his man to live 1,000 years, which is a type of the immortality. It starts with the redemption of the body being raised. So let us try to conclude here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Whoa, wait a minute here. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. My goodness. The resurrection was planted in this natural body, the man-child company, the sons of God, you and I. The resurrection was planted in a natural body. But what was raised up after 3.5 days, what was raised up? A spiritual body. Let's read on. Let's read on. Verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Isn't that when the sons of God were raised up after 3.5 days? God breathed into them the breath of life. And what? He breathed into them the breath of life. And they became a quickening spirit, a quickening, life-giving spirit. This is perfection, brethren. The perfection of the spirit, perfection in the soul, and now perfection in the physical body. God has redeemed the body from the earth. I can use a little bit of that redemption now, can't we, brethren? Suffering in these bodies as we age. God is not satisfied. He wants to redeem not only our spirit and our soul, but to redeem this body. And that is why the sons of God must lay down their life and pick it up again to prove that. Not only, it's not really a proof, it's a demonstration to demonstrate that this immortal life is not only in my spirit and my soul, but also in my body. Howbeit, hallelujah, verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is, verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren. Look at this. I want you to look at this with me very carefully. Verse 50. This I say, brethren, flesh and what? Blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. Well, what did the sons of God do with their blood? They became the evening sacrifice and gave up their blood. They are no longer flesh and blood. Now they are a quickening spirit. The breath of life from Almighty God has made them flesh and bone, and that bone is immortal. Has gained immortality. These bodies have gained immortality. Brethren, God wants the immortality not only in the soul, but in the body. Let's finish this, please. Verse 50 again. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, or neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We are going to be changed from that natural body, that Adamic body, to the heavenly body. One that is no longer dependent upon this earth. It is not earthy now. It is heavenly. For this, verse 53, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. God's desire is to redeem the first Adam by the second Adam, Christ. God wants the sons of God to come forth not only in incorruption, but in immortality. Now, what God is doing in this hour is God is looking for a people who will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. God is looking for a people who will love not their lives unto the death. They will be willing to become that evening lamb. They will lay down their life knowing that God is going to raise them up again, incorruptible and immortal. Brethren, please don't be discouraged because each one of us still has to battle that leprosy, that sin nature, that corruption. Don't be discouraged. The day of victory is at hand. Brethren, we are at the end of the sixth day on the precipice of the seventh day beginning, the day of resurrection. And we know all that has to transpire in between that. But we're very close, brethren. So I want to encourage us today. This is where we're going. This is the hope of where we're going. We're going to put on incorruption. We're going to put on immortality. The body is going to be raised up immortal, incorruptible. So be encouraged, brethren. It's the evening sacrifice. It's the end of the day, brethren. The evening sacrifice was at the end of the day. We're fast approaching the end of the day when this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption. So may God help us to continue in this battle. I believe we're winning, and I am convinced we are going to win at the end of the day. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. May God help us. May God equip us. May God strengthen us. God bless you, brethren. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.